63.
Ooh. I got 7 o'clock. What do you got? See that 702? You are, sir.
I'd like to call this meeting the Taney County Planning and Zoning Board of Adjustments to order at this time. And Mr. Ashley, would you give us the roll call, please?
Okay. Dave Clementson.
Present.
Tom Gideon.
Present.
Bob Hanselot.
Present.
Mark Weiss.
Here.
And David Nelson.
Present.
We have established a quorum.
Thank you. Would you give us the explanation for this public hearing procedures?
I would like to welcome you this evening to the December 18th, 2012 Board of Adjustment public hearing being held in order to hear a variance request and also an appeal of a decision made by the Taney County Planning Commission on a Division 3 special use permit. The Board of Adjustment hearing process is governed by the provisions of Missouri Revised Statutes, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustment bylaws. Public hearings are held on each variance or appeal request which is filed with the Planning Department. At this time, I wish to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. The staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C. And the Board of Adjustment bylaws is Exhibit D for all cases to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report will be read for each application, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you wish to comment upon either of the applications this evening, you must sign up at the front of the room. Anyone wishing to speak either for or against a request must be sworn in and will therefore be providing sworn testimony. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to provide sworn testimony, your name will be called by the Board of Adjustment Chairman. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments or questions are to be addressed to the board, not to anyone in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairman. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Mr. Haslund, would you give us the governing statute?
The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty. 1. To hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. 2. To hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. 3. Where, by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under sections 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to, or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use, as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege, to authorize upon an appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zoning plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map. In exercising the above powers, the board may reverse or affirm wholly or partly, or may modify the order, requirement, decision or determination appealed from, and may take such order, requirement, decision or determination as ought to be made, and to that end shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken.
Thank you. Our first case tonight is an appeal by Greg Smith from the Planning and Zoning Commission on a ruling they made. Before we actually have the staff report, there's a matter that is brought to my attention about asking for a continuance of hearing. And I would like to say that, is anybody here to represent Mr. Greg Smith?
I'm here on the administrative case, and I believe Mr. Paulson's here.
I represent him in the criminal case where he was charged, and I need to be here to participate in this as well, but there's a disagreement or a possible disagreement between the county and I. I was previously sent a letter demanding that I not represent Mr. Smith, and I withdrew from representing him. I represented him before, well, I was here for him at P&Z, and I've sent a letter to Frank Cotty today, and I got a kind of a no response, saying that, if they thought that I couldn't represent him, I disagreed with them, and the only thing that I could do would be to ask for a continuance and do a declaratory and see if it was okay for me to participate in representing him here tonight, and that's why I'm asking for a continuance.
And your name for the record?
I'm sorry, it's Robert Paulson.
And how you spell that?
Robert, the common spelling, and Paulson, P-A-U-L-S-O-N.
Thank you very much. So Mr. Smith does have representation.
Yes, I'm here on the appeal, Russ Schenewerk, S-C-H-E-N-E-W-E-R-K.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our bylaws indicate that only in the matter of where we only have three of our commissioners before us, is there an option for the appellant to ask for a 30-day extension until we do have a full board. I find nothing that would prohibit us from hearing this tonight from your continuation because of counsel. Seems to me that you are fully represented. We have a full board here tonight, and the matter before us is whether or not there was an error made by the Planning and Zoning Commission on their ruling of last month. So unless anybody would have any comments one way or the other, I would rule that we would go ahead with the case. Bob, would you give us the staff report?
Okay.
I'm going to object to the entry of B, C, D, and E into evidence because they lack foundation in their hearsay. I just wanted that on the record.
Beg your pardon?
I'm going to object to the staff reports being placed into evidence because they're hearsay and they lack foundation. It's a legal objection. It'd be a legal error to admit them. I just want that on the record.
So noted.
Thank you.
Okay. This is case number 2012-2A. The project is Hillhaven Nightly Rental, an appeal of the Planning Commission denial of the special use permit. The applicants are Greg and Stephanie Smith. The representative is Russ Schenewerk. The location, the subject property is located at 1662 Hillhaven Road, Hollister, Missouri. This is basically the location off of Hillhaven Road. It's in the Oliver Township, Section 35, Township 22, Range 22. And we've just got some additional aerial photography showing the location of the property in question. The request, the applicants, Greg and Stephanie Smith are seeking to appeal the Planning Commission denial of a special use permit, case number 2012-10, requesting to utilize an existing single-family residence for nightly rental. The background and site history on this, Division 1 permit 2007-382 was issued for the construction of Mr. and Mrs. Smith's home, which was completed in 2008. Per the information contained within the septic permit, the wastewater system was sized for a four-bedroom home. However, according to the information contained within the vacation rental by owner website, this structure contains over 13,000 square feet and consists of 7 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, a wine cellar, a theater room, a study, and a grand great room.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for interrupting.
There is no reason for the interruption, Bob.
Well, I would respectfully say that there was no ruling on B, C, D, or E. You said noted. You didn't overrule or sustain. And this is all hearsay, and there's no foundation for it. So we would want to object to it. I'll sit down as soon as you say I'm overruled or sustained, and I'll not interrupt, and I apologize for the interruption.
Well, then here,
who's representing who now?
Well, I'm not sure. Mr. Schwerdenwick?
I represent Mr. Smith on the administrative portion of the appeal, and Mr. Paulson is here because he has to participate in this to represent him in the criminal case. We both represent Greg Smith. We just have different jobs.
Well, but for tonight's activities,
we both represent him for tonight's activities. He has two attorneys, and he has to. Okay. He has to.
Overruled on the objection about the exhibits not being admitted for hearsay. Continue wherever we were.
Okay. On September 30th, 2011, a formal complaint was submitted to the Planning Department office by eight neighboring property owners indicating that the property located at 1662 Hillhaven Road was being utilized for what the Development Guidance Code defines as nightly rental. On October 13th, 2011, a notice of violation was sent to Mr. and Mrs. Smith via certified mail, requesting that the property owners contact the Planning Department office in order to begin the required special use permitting process for nightly rental. Mr. Smith contacted the Planning Department office on October 20th, 2011, indicating that he would begin the special use permitting process. Mr. Smith was sent a detailed packet of information via email. On a number of occasions, Mr. Smith continued to correspond with the Planning Department office both via phone and email. On January 26, 2012, a final notice of violation was sent via certified mail to Mr. and Mrs. Smith, giving them 10 days from the date of service to seek compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code or provide additional documentation in the form of signed contracts indicating that the residence was continually being rented on a monthly basis. At that time, the property was being advertised on the vacation rental by owner website for monthly rental. However, the neighboring property owners indicated that the residence was continuing to be rented for periods of time less than 30 days in length. The VRBO website calendar also indicated at that time that a number of the dates were unavailable for this property. Mr. Smith immediately contacted the Planning Department office and indicated that he would submit an application in order to be placed on the agenda as soon as possible, while also attempting to sell the residence. On May 9, 2012, Mr. and Mrs. Smith submitted their Division 3 special use permit application. However, on June 11, 2012, the applicants requested to reschedule the Planning Commission concept hearing from June 18, 2012 to July 16, 2012. On June 14, 2012, a stop work order was issued to Mr. and Mrs. Smith requesting that the property owner cease all nightly rental operations immediately until such time that they obtain a Division 3 special use permit for nightly rental. The nightly rental advertisement was immediately removed at that time from the VRBO website. However, within a matter of weeks, the advertisement reappeared on the website once again. And as of this date, as of the date of the report and as of today's date, the nightly rental advertisement has remained active on the VRBO website. The applicants have continued to allow basically the nightly and weekly rental of the property. According to the information contained on the VRBO website, rentals have currently been booked through August of 2013. Since the home continues to be utilized for nightly rental, this violation has been brought to the attention at this time of the prosecuting attorney per the provisions of Section 3.10 of the Development Guidance Code. On August 20th, 2012, the Taney County Planning Commission denied the special use permit request. The Planning Commission voted to deny this request by a unanimous vote of 7-0. The Planning Commission based its decision upon the unanimous belief that the proposed nightly rental of the single-family residence located at 1662 Hillhaven Road, Hollister, Missouri, would not be compatible with the surrounding single-family residential area, as also stipulated specifically in Appendix E, special use permits, of the Development Guidance Code. The Planning Commission further expressed reservations about the capacity of the existing on-site wastewater treatment system in ensuring that adequate provision of sewer service for this proposed nightly rental use. Again, just a brief description. This is the property in question. The applicants do also own the adjoining parcel of land as well. It's an approximately 13,000 square foot house located at 1662 Hillhaven Road, Track 2 of Williamson Malfi Survey. And we've just got some shots, one from the north, south, east, and west, just to show the approximate location of the property in question. In review, the Taney County Development Guidance Code defines nightly rental as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 days. So currently, the applicants would have the ability to rent the residence for a period of 30 days or greater. The applicants in this current appeal contend that the decision made by the Planning Commission was not supported by substantial or competent evidence, and that its decision was arbitrary and capricious. The applicants further stated that there were no findings of fact or conclusions of law provided with the decision of the Planning Commission. However, Division 3 Special Use Permit Decision of Record, case number 2012-10, specifically states that the Planning Commission denied the special use permit request by a unanimous vote of 7-0 based upon the unanimous belief that the proposed nightly rental of the single-family residence would not be compatible with the single-family residential area as stipulated specifically in Appendix E of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The Planning Commission further expressed reservations about the capacity of the existing on-site wastewater treatment system in ensuring adequate provision of sewer service for the proposed nightly rental use. The staff feels that the findings of fact and conclusions of law that were enumerated are essentially that the single-family residence was incompatible with the surrounding neighborhood, the surrounding single-family residential area, and secondly, that the adequacy of the existing on-site wastewater treatment system was questionable based upon the information that was provided within the septic permit file. Section 2.2, Appendix E of the Development Guidance Code specifically states that prior to any special use permit being granted, the Planning Commission shall consider that adequate provisions have been made for the following: utilities and services, including water, sewer, drainage, gas, and electricity, with particular reference to location, availability, capacity, and compatibility, and also item F, the general compatibility with adjacent properties, other properties in the district, and the general safety, health, comfort, and general welfare of the community, and with the standards for development in these regulations. The applicants are also contending that neither the planning administrator nor the Planning Commission have lawful authority to regulate the intended use of Mr. and Mrs. Smith's property, namely for nightly rental. The applicants have an additional contention that the current version of the Taney County Development Guidance Code being applied to the Smiths was not lawfully enacted, is not authorized by Missouri enabling statutes, and violates both the Missouri Constitution and constitutes a taking of private property without due process of law under the Missouri Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. On May 29, 2009, the existing nightly rental requirements were adopted as a portion of Appendix E, Special Use Permits of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. These were adopted by a unanimous vote of the Taney County Commission upon a recommendation of the Taney County Planning Commission. Both the Planning Commission held an advertised public hearing concerning nightly rental in February of 2009 as a part of the annual code amendment process, with the County Commission also holding an advertised public hearing on May 29, 2009, per the provisions of Missouri Revised Statute. The applicants contend that the requested use of the property is a use that was already in effect prior to the adoption of the current version of the Development Guidance Code, and therefore constitutes a prior nonconforming use. However, up to this date, the applicants have provided no documentation to the Planning Department which would indicate in any way that the property in question was utilized for nightly rental prior to the adoption of the nightly rental provisions of the Development Guidance Code. And an example of such documentation could include such items as state sales tax receipts for the time period in question, because as I've noted, please note that the Missouri Department of Revenue requires the payment of state sales tax for the rental, for any rental of properties, basically that are nightly rental, that are for a period of time less than 30 days. The other contention of the applicants is that the prior version of the Development Guidance Code was not lawfully enacted, was not authorized by Missouri enabling statutes, and violated the Missouri Constitution and the United States Constitution, and that the current action of the Planning and Zoning to deny the requested use that the applicant basically contends was in effect prior to the adoption of the current version of the code constitutes a taking of private property without due process of law. Ultimately, the staff feels that per the provisions of Missouri Revised Statutes, the board is to hear, and quoting the language, the Board of Adjustment is to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is an error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. Therefore, the Board of Adjustment is bound by the provisions of Missouri Revised Statutes to base its decision concerning this appeal request, the request in question, to a determination as to whether or not the Planning Commission made an error of law in its denial of special use permit, case number 2012-10. Really, a decision determining the legality of both the nightly rental provisions and the Taney County Development Guidance Code would require a determination via the court system and not the Board of Adjustment. That's not what the Board of Adjustment is tasked to do. In summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this appeal request, the Planning Commission denial of the decision of record for Division 3 Permit 2012-10 shall be reversed. If the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this request, the following requirements shall apply, unless revised by the board. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Taney County Health Department, and the Taney County Assessor's Office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, a valid merchant's license via the Taney County Collector's Office shall be provided to the Planning Department if the applicant owns more than one nightly rental property. Fourth, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Fifth, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Sixth, an on-site wastewater system shall be designed and constructed, ensuring capacity for the 7-bedroom home and or the maximum number of persons that will be accommodated via nightly rental, whichever is greater. This upgraded on-site wastewater system shall be permitted via the Taney County Planning Department in conjunction with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services and or the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. Seventh, this resident shall accommodate or sleep no more than 16 persons per night. Eight, a 25-foot-wide natural vegetative buffer shall be preserved along the southern property boundary between the property in question and the adjacent single-family residence. And number nine, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. The staff has a really brief video. I know this was kind of a lengthy staff report. And this is just basically coming into the property in question. This is the single-family home that's been proposed to be utilized for nightly rental.
Okay.
Are you riding on the hood?
It looks like it. And basically just kind of took a shot around the house here.
Does it? All right. Since we would like to swear in those persons that would like to speak on this issue tonight, would you please rise and I'll swear you in? That would include the attorneys. Would you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Mr. Schwinnewert, you're up.
I'd like to ask some questions of Mr. Atchley, if I could.
All questions should be devoted to us.
All right, that's fine. Mr. Atchley has testified, and so I'm requesting the opportunity to cross-examine Mr. Atchley. He's testified.
He has read a report.
I'll rule on this. You may go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Atchley, are you aware of how many other alleged zoning violations in Taney County have resulted in criminal prosecutions in the last 5 years?
I'm not. In my tenure, I've been here a year and a half, and...
Point of order. You're talking about a criminal activity. We are not here for a criminal activity. Are we not? Why would you want to ask him a question such as that?
Okay.
I'm not clear of what's going on here.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm in control here. I'd like to be able to understand what the heck is going on.
I'm getting to it. I'm asking about the process. I want to understand the process. I want to understand what goes into the decision.
You just ask him what specifically has it been done in the past about other properties.
Mr. Chairman, this. I know what I ask him is the chair telling me I can't ask that question?
I don't see how it's germane to this subject on rezoning.
I understand if I'm instructed not to ask it, I won't ask it. But I'm waiting for an answer to that question. The chair will either allow it or it won't.
Well, let me just ask another question, because Mr. Paulson asked me earlier if we could do a cross-examination of those that spoke here tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's not the intent of this hearing. There would be no cross-examinations of those that are speaking on behalf for or against the property. They are to direct comments to me and the board, and not any cross-examination. If you want to ask through the board of a particular person a question, whether or not they want to answer that, that's up to them. They are all sworn to tell the truth. So that with that understanding...
Mr. Chairman, do the bylaws allow for a cross-examination of witnesses?
Let me double-check.
Thank you.
They do.
Okay.
I shall allow the questions.
Thank you, sir. If I may proceed. Thank you. Mr. Ashley, does the Development Guidance Code define compatibility?
Yes.
Okay, and can you tell the board how that definition reads?
I don't know that it actually defines the term compatibility.
That would be my question, sir.
Okay.
So is that a no or?
I don't believe that it does define the term compatibility.
Thank you. What factors would be used by?
Or no, it does. I apologize. I misspoke. It defines compatibility as land usage and or improvements that are similar to that of other land usage and or improvements that are within 1,000 feet, whether directly adjoining or not.
Okay. Okay. And is this structured similar to other land uses in the area? The structure.
I do believe the structure is similar. I don't believe the use of the structure is similar.
Understood. I think that's our point of contention, so that's fair enough. Isn't it true there are other timeshare properties in the area, that there are timeshare properties in the area?
I'm not aware of other timeshare properties in this immediate area.
Okay. Isn't it true that there was no test done by planning and zoning or any evidence received by planning and zoning of any test taken by the Taney County Sewer District as far as wastewater capacity?
Basically, as far as the wastewater side of things is concerned, the only time we can conduct an investigation of a wastewater concern is if there is actual evidence of failure. However, there was a concern on our part just because the system was sized for a four-bedroom home.
Okay. Would it be a true statement then, sir, to say that there is no evidence as far as insufficient wastewater capacity for this property?
At this time, I'll agree that there is no evidence of wastewater surfacing.
Thank you. Is planning and zoning aware of any overflow of this system, of the wastewater system?
Not at this time.
Okay.
No.
Is there any rule that you're aware of, Mr. Ashley, regarding limiting the number of house guests of any other property in the area?
The Planning Commission has actually limited the number of has actually placed a condition on other special use permits limiting the number of guests within a nightly rental facility.
And is that 16?
What they have begun basing that on is they've really looked at basing that on approximately two persons per bedroom plus an additional two persons for the facility.
And does that rule pertain to single family residences?
It pertains specifically to nightly rental.
Okay, but that's not unique to single family residences. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Are you aware of any rule in the Taney County Development Guidance Code requiring signed contracts for nightly rentals?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Okay. Are you aware of any evidence of any problem with compliance of this property with the Taney County Fire District?
I'm not aware of them being in violation at this time.
Okay. Are you aware of any evidence of any violations of health department compliance?
I am not. However, if I could further expound upon that, it's my understanding that if a structure is being utilized for nightly rental and it has five or more guest rooms, that it's actually a facility that is supposed to fall under the health department regulations. I also have an understanding that such a structure, in speaking with the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, It's also my understanding that they would likely require a sprinkler system for this facility
and
as well.
I'll object any hearsay statements, just for the record.
I understand.
Yeah. Are you aware of any problems with insufficient parking on this property, sir?
No.
Was this particular property subjected to performance-based zoning, the point system?
Yes.
Okay, and can you explain for the record how that works, please?
Basically, in Taney County, each request is scored, and it is scored by the staff. Basically, the staff uses this as a tool to make a recommendation on each project. And on each project, including this one, the score was actually read, and the Planning Commission is provided with a copy of the score sheet, including all of the negative and positive scores, and what areas received a negative score or a positive score. So,
okay, thank you. I noted on one of the previous slides, Mr. Atchley, that there was a reference to this website, this Vacation Rentals by Owner, VRBO, or something like that. Can you tell me who from the Planning and Zoning Department monitors that website?
Basically, we are somewhat a complaint-driven department.
Sure.
And in this instance, we received a complaint from numerous adjoining property owners about the nightly rental of this house. And essentially, that information was provided to us by some of the complainants.
Okay. I guess a better way to ask it would be, who from your staff verified the information on that website? I'm looking for a name, I guess.
Well, essentially myself. I mean, I and like I said, in any of the staff reports, I basically said that per this Vacation Rental by Owner website, which from my understanding is an ad that your client would have placed, according to what he has placed on the website, this is what he's advertising.
Okay. How many times did you monitor that website? How many times did you look at it? If you remember.
I mean, really just periodically.
Okay. Once a week?
Probably less frequently than that.
Once a month?
Probably once a month.
Okay. And did you ever print out the website to show the advertisements? Do you have those in the file?
Yes.
Okay. When you were on that website, Mr. Atchley, did you also note other properties in Branson that were VRBOs?
Yes.
Okay. And is Planning and Zoning doing anything to identify those properties?
At this point, we have required a number of other property owners and properties to seek permits as well, to seek special use permits. We have a limited staff, and our focus has primarily been complaint-driven.
How many stop work orders were issued on VRBO properties?
Well, at this point, we have issued one other.
Okay, and what's the address of that property? Do you know?
I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Okay.
I would be happy to give you that information.
Okay, I appreciate it.
I don't recall the address.
Is there an order signed by the County Commission adopting the amendment to the Development Guidance Code regarding the nightly rentals?
I'm not certain of that. I did find the... I was able to locate a copy of the minutes from those meetings.
I understand there may have been a vote, but my question is there a signed order?
I'm not certain of that.
Okay.
I was not able to. I wasn't employed here at that time, and I in all honesty, I was not able to find an order.
Would it be a fair statement? I apologize. I didn't mean to step on you.
No.
Would it be a fair statement to say if there was a signed order that you could have access to it and you could find it?
I feel that likely I could.
Okay. This property was issued a Division 1 permit, correct?
Correct.
Does the sewer district require have any further requirements or ordinances that need to be met when a property changes from a Division 1 to a nightly rental?
Well, the thing that's a little sticky on this is on-site wastewater permitting. It is now conducted via the planning department as of the first of this year, mm-hmm. In conjunction with the state health department. And it's my understanding that there may be instances, if there's a change of use, where we may really need to investigate the wastewater system.
I appreciate that. With all due respect, though, the question was, is there anything in the regulations of the sewer district that require any further actions on behalf of my client when you change from a Division I to a special use permit for nightly rentals?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But again, they don't currently regulate on-site wastewater systems. They are no longer the entity that regulates those systems.
And isn't it an accurate statement to say that there's no such thing as an assessor compliance letter?
The reason we've asked for that is...
Again, very respectfully, I mean, there's no such thing, is there?
Well, actually, I mean, we've asked for this on a number of these, primarily because it's our understanding that these properties should be zoned or should be assessed commercially. In my tenure here, I have not received one.
Okay. Nothing further. Thank you, gentlemen.
I have a few questions. So, just a few. Mr. Paulson.
Thank you. Basically, the decision of record only had one basis, and that was compatibility. It mentioned sewer, but its reason was compatibility, and they noted concerns with the septic capacity, correct?
I would agree with that, but I do think that both of those were a factor, and I think Appendix E allows both of those items to be a factor in their decision.
I understand, but I'm just going by what the decision of record said. Okay. Now, compatibility. This is except for maybe the number of people and the length of their stay, I mean, it looks just like a single-family residence, correct?
I would agree that the appearance is similar. It does look like a single-family residence, but customarily you don't have 30 people in a single-family residence.
Is there anything in the code? Is there anything in the code that says that nightly rental is absolutely not compatible with residential?
There is not. It's looked upon on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. And the zoning districts that were formed for the county, there's two of them, correct? The east
yes.
and the west?
Yes.
And they're essentially the same rules?
They are very similar. There are minor differences.
You can only do residential, pretty much. You can't do commercial, industrial, as a matter of right. You have to come through this board, planning and zoning.
Yes.
Okay. So you have a zoning map there. You can't point to the zoning map and show me anything that's not just residential, correct?
Really, that is correct. I mean, as far as the zoning map's concerned, you are correct. There is a western district and an eastern district.
And everything's residential.
And basically, in my opinion, everything is either, if it's received a Division I permit, basically it's residential. They've gotten approval to build a residence.
Right.
Otherwise, I would view it as agricultural.
Okay.
If it's essentially a vacant piece of property that has not sought a land use permit.
So there's nowhere on that map that, as of a right, when you look at it, you can do industrial or commercial, correct?
Correct.
There's nowhere that you could do an adult business or a bar, correct?
Correct.
And there's nowhere where you could do a nightly rental, correct, as a right?
By right, I would agree with you.
And it says everything's residential, so where in the two districts can you do a nightly rental?
Basically, again, it's looked upon on a case-by-case basis as a special use permit.
But if it's incompatible with residential and it's all residential, where can you do one?
They've approved a number of these in other residential areas.
I have nothing further.
Any
anybody would like to ask any questions of the attorneys at this point? If none, Alicia Johnston, please step forward and spell your name for the record and your comments later.
Okay. My name is Alicia Johnston, AlyciaJohnston, and I currently live at 1666 Hillhaven Road. And my driveway shares the driveway that 1662 has. The people who stay, the owners, the renters, have to pull through my driveway to go down to theirs. There is an extremely large amount of traffic, mostly on weekends. It's heavier in the summer, up to 30 or 40 people occupy this residence at one time. I have, if you remember on the video, if you saw the trash dumpster as you were entering into the property, that trash dumpster, actually, you have to go through my driveway to get to that trash dumpster. I've actually had damage done to personal property from renters who have come to haul their trash. I spent a whole day this summer crying because a metal tub that I had of my grandmother's, we had planted some flowers in my yard, in a dually truck that was a renter, had backed up over it when they were backing up to the trash can in my yard and damaged this personal valuable heirloom of mine. Also, the traffic's the main thing. The dock is a private dock, and it is owned by the people who pay the dock fees. And as a person who goes down to enjoy the dock on a private dock in the summertime, it is not enjoyable to share it with 30 complete strangers of all ages. I've been down on the dock before where there were many coolers and people drinking and cursing, and I have friends who come over with small children. It is not enjoyable. We've also had issues with damage and things missing off of the dock after wedding parties have been held at the 1662 Hillhaven residence. Basically, I felt like I was living in a residential area, but now there's a business being conducted there. And so it really is a high volume of traffic. Lots of cars coming and going. And I would say that it's seasonal, and also like if there's a wedding or like a Christmas party, New Year's Eve will be rocking usually. Lots of traffic in and out. And it's just a distraction to your peaceful environment at home. That's all I have.
How many instances would you say there were at least 30 people or more on the property?
I really have a high, I would give you a high number on that. I've only lived in at 1666 since, a year and a half, almost 2 years. And so I didn't document or write it down, but I would say at least 50 times since I've lived there in a year and a half, I have noticed over 30 people at that place. Now, I'm not sure if all 30 people stayed the night, but lots of cars. And I've actually met some really nice people down on the dock from South Carolina, Virginia, Washington, made some, nice acquaintances. They were renters. They shared with me that they were paying to stay at that place. Nice people. But at the same time, that is a private dock, and there is a liability issue for the people who pay the insurance fees for the dock, not for pleasure and somebody else to be profiting from that. I don't profit from it. I pay a fee. So I kind of have a problem with it.
And how many slips are you permitted to have?
Two. I have two.
Is that by Corps of Engineers?
I'm not sure. I can't answer that question. That would be a question for my husband. I just like to go down and float. I'm sorry.
And is this road that is commonly used, is there an easement for both properties to share the road?
I'm not sure if I can answer that question or not. I plant the flowers and water them. The Smiths actually own the lot that is located in between where I live and where they live. They own a lot in between there. And I would say that, yes, there is an easement that the trash truck has to use to back down into that area.
Okay. Any questions of the commissioners?
No, but I'm sorry, but I need to find another name.
Okay. Am I finished?
unless you would like to cross-examine?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you.
Due to the length of this that started already, I need to take a 5-minute recess. back to order. And Dennis McClintic, you come forward and this just one at a time. I mean, if Christine, if you'd like to talk first, that'd be fine. Can't have you both talking at the same time.
That's fine. I'll talk. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spell your name.
Okay. Dennis McClintic, McClintic.
Thank you.
Bob, can you pull up that slide of the close-up of the mansion house there?
Yes.
Where it shows our house right on. Yeah, okay, right there. We're the house to the left right there.
Okay.
So everything that goes on in the house pours right down on us. It's just, it's right there. You know, we're against the nightly rental for several reasons. We have, you know, we've dealt with fireworks being shot off from renters, landing on a roof, picking up rockets in the yard, you know, such. As the previous lady mentioned, a lot of people, they're good people that are there, but then we also see the riffraff there, too. A fraternity party one time was going on where they were up there smoking pot, and the guys were groping their gals and this and that, and my kids were playing basketball. You know, you got to pull them inside. You know, you just got to, okay, what's going on now up there? We were digging a line, trying to get some drainage water from our neighbor's house right between our properties there, that black line that goes through there. They had some of their guests come out and try to shut us down. Said, turn your engines off. We got a wedding going. So we had to, you know, we thought, okay, fine. So we turned off our excavator and we're right on the little cart path right between there. And gosh, we go up there and we're looking over there and there's a big gay wedding going on and all their guests. I don't know. It's just this kind of stuff that those kind of people bother us. The noise is excessive. We got that music. Their speakers blare right down on us. Like the nights of the weddings, one night, 3 a.m, the music was carrying, you know, going on. We got our dock is straight down from our house, which was probably 100 yards from their dock. We have private signs posted on our dock. On a number of occasions, we've had those renters on our dock looking to be picked up because they're, you know, I don't know. They get mixed up which dock is ours and which one's theirs. What happened is there was a microburst this year and took out their dock, that middle one. And so then we had a few more occasions where their renters were down on our dock because there was no dock for them to use. We worry about the guests that drive down the road. You know, when the renters come in, they drive too fast. They're taking the curves. And, you know, a number of us walk that road for exercise. And so, you know, we're concerned about the safety of these people who aren't familiar with the road. New batch in every week. Driving too fast. I was going to mention they kept running it out even after the stop work order. Of course, you know all that. And then the biggest reason we don't want the nightly rental is when we bought the place, our realtor told us that, you know, this is something you better get shut down. It's going to lower the value of your property. And so we, you know, in the first year, we just tried to be good neighbors, didn't say anything about it, weren't, you know, thought, well, maybe it'll just go away. Maybe he's trying to sell it. But that never happened, and and now that we've seen it and what's gone on, and again, most of the people are good people, you know, that come there to rent. But you know, we've had a few issues with some of the other renters there. And quite frankly, had we known there was going to be a hotel beside us, we would not have bought our property. But again, we thought this was something that would be, you know, he was doing illegal activity with the special use thing, and it would just get shut down. So, anyway, I guess that's it. That kind of hits. Okay.
How long have you lived there?
We've been there 2 years.
2 years. And in all that time, this has been used for nightly rental in your two-year period?
Pretty much.
Okay.
And, you know, like this summer, almost every week, you know, there's people there.
And the access to the parking area down that road that leads down to the docks, what's the capacity of that, do you believe?
You're talking the parking lot in front of the Smith's house?
Onto the right there, to the northeast.
Oh, that's a pretty good size
up here.
Is that where everybody parks that uses?
No, the next one over to the left, aligned with that middle dock. That's the one that the people who rent the house use that parking lot. Yeah. Yeah, so that parking lot right there. It's a decent sized little parking lot down there. I mean, you could park.
Who else uses that parking lot, that particular parking lot?
As far as I know, I mean, it's just the renters, and then if there's any, I think then there's a few people that might own some, that might be here that may have owned a slip in there from the neighborhood.
That's what I was asking.
But I'm not sure on that, so I don't know who owns what exactly on that dock. Our dock is the next one to the left, and of course that's just our four houses, which you can see all of them right there on the left there. So we kind of have a little association for our dock and sewer and all that.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. McClinty?
Bob? Would you know the arrangements? There's three docks there. Are
two
they
now.
Communally owned, individually owned? I mean, I think you mentioned that you have somebody else.
Well, we have
working.
Again, the four houses to the left there are all owned.
All that one
and
dock.
Slips in that. Yeah, and that one there.
Okay. Do we know who owns the middle dock?
You know, one of these other people coming up to speak might have more information. Okay. I really don't know who owns what on either one of those two docks on the right. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Bob, you can speak up.
Okay. Did you appear at the P&Z meeting?
No.
Okay. That's
no.
all I have.
No, we were out of town when that,
thank you.
When that happened.
Thank you. Christine, would you like to make any comments?
No additional comments, sir.
All right. Don J. Long? Spell your last name for us.
Long, L-O-N-G, Don
right.
J.
All right. You've already been sworn in.
Yes, sir. I live at 1830 Hillhaven Road, just down the road from this property. And I'm fortunate that I don't live closer to what we call the big house, because it's really pathetic. I just see it. All of the cars all jammed up down there on weekends. I talk to neighbors and they talk about being woke up at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning with the loud music and the hollering and carrying on. I also own the two last docks, slips in the dock there. I keep my boat somewhere else, but I own those slips. When they built the dock, I bought the slips.
In the middle dock?
In the middle. Yes,
okay.
In that one.
Okay.
And I've gone down there, and everybody just uses my slips just like it's theirs. I guess they're told that this is our dock and you have the use of it. But nothing I can do about it. But I just have a great amount of sympathy for the people who live so close. It's so jammed up. It's so disorganized. And I just see things that is just pathetic. It's a nice neighborhood. I've lived there 10, 12 years and just love the neighborhood. But that, I'm just fortunate that I don't live closer to that house like the neighbors there do. And I just sympathize with him. And it's just totally out of place. It just degrades the property of everyone. I feel that it's less than my property value as well.
So. Okay. Any questions?
You've seen boats in your slips?
I've seen boats in my slips, yes.
And are they the Smith's boats or are they renters' boats?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
There's been boats in
your slips. With all these people around, I've just said, yeah, I'm not getting into this.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Mark.
Yes, sir.
Why is it that you choose not to use the two slips that you own?
Well, the main reason is that I keep my boats over at State Park Marina. And I have utilized State Park Marina for a number of years. When they put the dock in, they had the slips that they were trying to sell. So I said, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and buy a couple of slips because one of these days I'm going to need them. Well, my reason for not moving my boats over there is because at the State Park Marina, I can get the boats winterized, dewinterized, and get them washed and cleaned and serviced and everything. And it's just much, much more convenient. So I haven't used them. I wish I didn't own the slips. And hindsight tells me that was a bad move. But, you know, we make those.
Thank you.
Any other questions, sir?
Hindsight may not be too bad off because most people, when they buy a lake home, they want a dock or availability of a dock.
Well, that's true, and that was a part of my thought process, too. I have I actually own two homes down there and some other land, and I've sold some property. And I felt like that one of these days, if I sell my home, the people are probably going to want a dock. And so that's why I did it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Any questions?
Yeah, I would just ask, you were here at the PNC meeting?
Yes, sir.
But you didn't say all the same things. You said a little bit different tonight?
I don't know that I even...
My wife. So you didn't speak at the
PNC? I didn't speak, no.
Okay. Thank you. No questions.
My wife's out of town.
She planned to be here, but
she's in her home down Little Rock.
What?
And, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to say that we'd like to object to the narrative form and the hearsay, and then I'll butt out, Your Honor. Sir. You got to understand, we're used to courtrooms.
I understand.
Well, he knows how he...
I know.
I'll overrule the objection, but
thank
so
you.
Noted, though.
Thank you.
Wayne Bergbickler? And forgive me if I... mouthed that last word. I couldn't.
Yes, you did pretty good.
It's spelled Bergbigler.
That's what I thought.
And I'm probably going to reiterate some of the things that a lot of these people have said, so you have to excuse me on that. And I have a couple other comments to the board. My neighbor right above me, well, first of all, I live in a house, if I can show you, this house right here. So I'm probably about from their. In fact, I joined their property. So one of the things they talked about in that one thing, 25.
Would you come back to the mic? Please come back to the mic. Thank you.
One of the things they talked about, the 25 feet of vegetation to shield this from everything else. You'd probably have to put in 70 foot pine trees all the way around that thing to shield it from my house, because that's all you see is this huge 13 foot residential house. The lady was right about the large parties. They had a party on the 14th of December recently. Friday evening, and there was at least 10 cars, maybe more. I don't know how you control the number of people. I have no idea how many people were there. And I don't know if there's any way you actually, if it was granted that you could control, when they say seven bedrooms, who's to know if there are 30 people in the house. But anyway, midnight, 12:30 at night, a lot of noise, barking dogs. There's no respect for the residential area and the neighbors. She's right about the obscenities, a lot of trash. We have a decreased security level in our neighborhood. You know, these are, as you can look on there, these are all above average residential houses. And quite honestly, as you all know, we pay a lot of taxes for the security and privacy and the quietness of the neighborhood. And this is certainly not a rental area. It was built for a single-family residence. And like I say, I don't know how you control the number of people staying there for rental property. Mr. Smith built this house to be residential. And now he's trying to make money at our expense with no regard of any of the neighbors. My last comment is I urge you to deny this request. Thank you very much.
All right. Any questions? Wayne? Thank you.
I just asked the same question. Were you here and spoke at the PNC?
No, I was up in northern Missouri. My wife was here and spoke.
Thank you. Kay Asher? And spell your last name for the record.
A-F-S-H-A-R. And I really don't have a lot more to add than what my neighbors have added, other than the annoyance of loud music and yelling in the middle of the night. And definitely a regard for the safety of the neighborhood.
And whereabouts do you are you shown on the photo there?
Kind of right here.
All right.
We just, you don't expect to be bombarded by parties and things like that on a weekly basis when you're in a residential neighborhood. You know, it's different if you're on a resort or something like that where people rent out homes or in that type of an area. But that's not the area that we live in.
And how long have you lived there?
Let's see, a year and a half almost.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
I'm going to ask the same one. I think she did test it. She was here. Did you say all the same things? Or?
Some of the same things, yes.
Okay, thanks.
I'm sorry, sir. Unless you had something other than that, you've already had your 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. I just want to tell you, I've been a resident there for 13 years.
Sorry, I didn't ask. Thank you. Any questions for anybody that spoke? Mr. Schwenenwerk, if I could ask you, according to the documents that we have before us, it seems to me that the violation of notice that was served to Mr. Smith was on October the 13th, and we just now had him denied in what was the date in the denial? I don't have it in front of me.
Yes.
July? Or August?
August 20th.
August 20th. And a stop work order was issued in June of 14th. Can you explain why he went against the work order?
I don't have knowledge.
Why it took him so long to come before the planning and zoning.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I didn't mean to step over your question there. I have no knowledge that he did violate it. I'm here to challenge the constitutionality and the legality of the ordinance.
I understand that.
Okay, but I don't have any personal knowledge. I mean, I'm not a witness. I didn't have any personal knowledge. I'm here as attorney.
Too bad that he's not here.
I don't know that it'd make a whole lot of difference. I mean, the part of it we're challenging is the legal aspect.
I understand. Yeah. I'd just like to know the manner in which he denied doing any of these things for such a long time.
He had to come down here yesterday for the criminal case, Mr. Chairman, and he had to make a choice of which day to take off work, and I told him you better make the criminal docket. So.
And you're referring to the prosecuting attorney serving him papers?
No, Your Honor. I'm so used to the court. Mr. Chairman, I'm referring to a docket call for the criminal case in Judge Justice's court yesterday. The prosecutor filed a motion for a change of judge, and I always tell my criminal clients, be there. Doesn't matter what there is, be there so the judge doesn't put out a warrant. So he had to decide whether to come for the criminal case yesterday or this case tonight, which day to take off work, and I said take off for the criminal.
Well, is the criminal case have any bearing on this case? I mean, obviously it is.
It led to that
right from the get-go.
No, they're very much related, Mr. Chairman, because if we're successful in getting this declared to be unconstitutional and invalid, as we expect, the criminal case goes away because the criminal charge is directly related to a violation of the Tatum County Development Guidance Code. So they are related.
That's what all I wanted to know, whether it came from that prosecuting attorney's office.
The original charge? Yes, uh-huh. Mr. Chairman. Yes, right. That's where it was filed. Yeah.
Thank you. I would declare the public portion of this meeting over, and we'll reserve our comments to ourselves and make any motions that we might make.
All this has nothing to do with our decision. We're here to decide if the P&Z made any errors.
Right.
And made a correct decision based on what they had.
Well, they didn't present anything new or anything different. They just kind of asked a bunch of questions. So they need to prepare themselves for whatever else they're doing.
Yeah. It seemed like a self-serving appeal.
Well, they have to do the proper notices, and they have to come before us if they're going to go further. And I presume that's your intent.
May I address that comment about there being nothing new?
No, I've closed that
out. Fair enough. All right.
It seems to me that we're not here to pass any judgment over the law, the code, the development code. We're simply here to decide, did they make the correct decision? I think I know what compatibility is, and I'm prepared to make my decision.
Okay. I would so entertain a motion for anybody that would like to make one.
Move to deny the appeal.
Second.
Motion denied on the appeal for planning and zoning decision of record.
Correct. And based on their items of denial.
All right. Any further comments? I would call for a vote then. Bob, you made the motion. How would you vote?
Vote for the motion.
To deny the appeal.
To deny the appeal.
Okay. David?
Vote to deny the appeal.
All right. And Tom?
Vote to deny the appeal.
And Mark?
Vote to deny the appeal.
And the chairman would also vote to deny the request for the appeal.
Gentlemen, thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Court reporter off duty?
I'm off duty.
Well, good. We probably have some comments now.
We got one more, don't we?
Yep. Just a little more.
We have a request for David Shaw, a variance request. And we'll call for that at this time.
Okay. This is case number 2012-9V.
Excuse me just a minute. Folks, could you go outside? Thank you. Bob?
Yeah, this is case number 2012-9V. The applicants are David and Christine Shaw. The representative is Tom Holdman. The subject property is 188 Longshore Drive, Blue Eye, Missouri. It's actually located westernmost portion of the county. Here's the Taney-Stone County line. It's in the Oliver Township, Section 3, Township 21, Range 22. And just have a few other aerials showing the property in question. It's lot 33 of Williams Landing. The request, the applicants, David and Christina Shaw, or Christine Shaw, I apologize, are requesting a variance from Section 7, Table 1, Setbacks of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The applicant is requesting a variance from the required 25-foot front property line setback in order to allow for the construction of a single-family residence. The background and history on this, as we've said, this is lot 33 of Williams Landing subdivision. On August 5th, 1992, the Board of Adjustment granted a variance allowing for private roads within the subdivision with a 30-foot right-of-way width. And then on August 10th, 1992, Division 3 permit number 1992-151 was approved by the Planning Commission, allowing for the development of this 39-lot residential subdivision known as Williams Landing. And the plat was recorded on February 16, 1995. The property owners have, at this point, have indicated that they will apply for a Division 1 permit, allowing for the construction of the single-family residence upon the rendering of the decision on the variance application this evening. The property will be served by an existing community wastewater treatment system and a private well. And we've put together an aerial photo, but it also contains some contour information as well. The road is basically at 980 feet, and these are 5-foot contour intervals. And so basically this portion of the property would be 950 feet. So there's an approximately a 30-foot drop between the road and the back side of the property. This is lot 33 of Williams Landing, and they're seeking a variance, a setback variance, and basically the applicants are requesting an 8-foot property variance allowing for the construction of the single-family residence, which would be within 17 feet of the front property line. And essentially in the drawing here, this area that's been shaded, that's the only area where the home would encroach. And just have some aerial photos of the property. The applicants are requesting the 8-foot front setback variance, which would allow the house to be constructed 17 feet off the front property line. The buildable space within the property is limited due to both the curvature of Longshore Drive and also the existing on-site topography. The applicant was required to also obtain a setback variance from the Williams Landing Property Owners Association, and they have received that variance from the Property Owners Association. And as you can see in the photo, the topography on site is such that it falls off rapidly from the front of the property to the rear of the lot. And in summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a variance of 8 feet from the front property line adjoining Longshore Drive, allowing for the construction of a single-family residence that will be located 17 feet from the front property line. Second, compliance with all of the other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a really pretty brief video here. Whoops, pulling up the wrong thing, sorry. And this is just a quick video of the lot in question. It's a little hard to see with the shadows. He actually has the area where the house is going to be located. It's actually staked out, and he's got a string that's been drawn across here. But essentially, he'd be seeking a variance in the front area there. I think I kind of walked down that direction here in just a second. The lighting's not the not the best on this.
Voting isn't either.
No. And here's the property line. And essentially, the house would fall right in line with the adjoining properties.
Some of those other properties in there look like to me that they've got variances too.
They're back. I do know.
Just looking at the.
Exactly. They're for sure. I did find at least one other variance that's been approved on that same street. So. And basically, they would just be seeking a variance in this corner, essentially, primarily because of the curvature of that road.
Okay. Tom Holman?
That's me.
I presume you didn't swear yourself in last time, did you?
I did.
Did you?
I don't know. Did I? Maybe I didn't stand up. Yeah, I thought I stood up.
All right. Well, I won't do it again then.
Tom Holman, H-O-L-M-A-N. Good evening, gentlemen.
Are you the builder by the chance?
Yep, I am.
All right.
Yep, I am. I'm the builder for Dave and Christine, and they selected a lot. It's just like everything else we build on out there. It's just unbelievable.
It's hard to read, but
the problem with these lots in Williams Landing, the guy who developed that, they're so narrow and they're so shallow. And to get any kind of a house size, I mean, this house plants exactly to the side setback lines per the setbacks required by Williams Landing, and to go out pushes us out right over the back edge with the back foundation walls, and to come forward actually makes the house look more appropriate as you come down the street, because right now you're coming down a street, house, and then you go boom. So if we could just come forward 8 feet, we'd be in line. And the guy on the end, that house is turned completely, and that's, you're right, Bob. That thing encroaches every setback that was ever written. So but it was 20 years ago.
Does that street just dead end in his?
It dead ends right there.
Yeah. The street has
Other. And actually, the street, see, the association said, oh, we can give you that setback because it's not a county street. The county didn't take that street over. Well, I said, that sounds good, and write it up. But I suspect when I go see Bob, he's going to say, hey, we can't do that. And so we went through the process. But it just makes it where it will fit, and it will probably make construction considerably more pleasant as far as getting up the hill, and make it look appropriate as you go down the street.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
Any questions? Two or three of those other houses down through there look like me on the picture I've got here. They're probably encroaching the easement too.
I don't know about, I can't say, Tom, about the front. I know for a fact they're encroaching on the back and on the sides. But in this one, if that little last little curve of the road wasn't there, we could have held the line. But this pushes us out, and you can't really tell it from the picture, but the last 20 feet of this lot construction area, it just drops right straight off. And so our back foundation is going to have to go over the edge. Of course, you know how everybody is about the core. You're not supposed to touch the core. I don't know how you'd get down there to dig it. So if we come up, it brings us up onto a little level plateau there.
David?
I have a question about the homeowner association.
Yeah.
They gave you 7.5 feet. Are we able to do 8 feet, or do we have to go by their 7.5?
We take precedent.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, at the time, I drew it out on that graph paper. It was three squares, so I said 7.5. When I drew it out here, I mean, you're trying to set a house in on that kind of a grade, you could be off a few inches. So I was just trying to, whatever you guys, I mean, 7.5 is fine, but 8 would be great. Every little bit helped.
From the looks of it, without any other driveways, it's difficult to even make a turnaround.
It is. The guy on the end, when he pulls in his driveway, he's got to back down the street if he's not going to back onto somebody else's driveway. My homeowner, when he builds, at least will be able to back out onto the road.
So street. And yeah. I was asking if there was something else going on there, and I was thinking, yeah, you got to back all the way down to your neighbor. He's probably hoping somebody builds a house there.
So he can turn around.
So he had to back another.
This is one of the days like the old streetcars where you have the steering mechanism and all things.
Well, actually, I tried to talk to that guy about when we building a retaining wall right over towards his house, so at least he could have a spot to back into that little 12-foot area
yeah.
where he could turn around and go, but he has had nothing of it. And I said, okay, so we'll do what we need to do. But that's the request. This is way better than going through that.
Okay.
I know we're off the record. Did that guy look like the guy used to play on Kramer? God dang, man, I swear to God.
We're on record.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, he just looked like it.
We don't have a court reporter, but it is live.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's it, guys. Any other questions?
I'm afraid to ask him. Who would like to make a motion?
I'll move that we approve the request for variance, 8 foot. Yeah.
Motion is made and seconded. Hearing no discussion. David, you vote?
Aye.
Bob?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
Tom?
Aye.
Aye also.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it very
much. Thank
you. You bet.
Just a little history that that developer developed that back in 1972.
Oh.
And he didn't realize what the county was going to look like 40 years later.
Oh, exactly.
And I wrote my first sales contract, the hood of my car. And William
no kidding, Lane. Down there in Williams yeah. Landing.
Oh, no, man. Yeah.
Cabins and outhouses back
right.
there.
Yeah.
You have before you minutes of the last meeting.
Move to approve.
I'll second. Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
We approved the minutes.
They approved the minutes.
In the last meeting.
Anything for the good of the cause, Bob?
Briefly.
Nothing else.
Are we meeting next month?
Yes. Yeah, there will be, is it two items?
Yes.
What are you
talking about? Right.
I move to go home.
All right. I second the move.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you will probably be a request for reframing.
Meeting adjourned.
Before I get the pen back.
They started off in an
on the minute.
Serial.